Worship team putting us in the presence of the Lord. Can we pray together? Lord, we just thank you for this time, and we thank you for our team just seeking you passionately. We pray for each of them, God, because we know every time they step up here, Lord, it is a step of faith, a desire to seek you, worship you, and welcome us into worshiping you. Let that happen now. May your people hear your word in the midst of beautiful little voices. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. There's going to be some clipboards passed out for our little ones so they can be engaging with the gospel while they're also listening to the service. It is good to see your beautiful faces. I thought y'all might be digging yourselves out of some snow today, but thankfully the sun shined on us and we're doing a little bit better. One update that I forgot to put inside of our prayer request time is that our truck that unfortunately was stolen last week was also recovered last week. So we are grateful for that. Amen, amen. It is at the shop getting fixed, and thankfully they did damage, but it's not too bad. The engine and everything still there. Y'all know how they do in the city. They take your stuff. You lucky to get the Q-tip that you used in their back. You know what I'm saying? Like, they work your car. So thankfully, we'll be backing up and rocking. Amen, amen. And one of those things, y'all, like I'm going to just say this often. God is just gracious. Like, when our stuff, I'm not going to be one of those pastors that like, oh, it's just your stuff. No, if somebody take your stuff, you got a right to feel that injustice and to be angry. Like, I'm not, but I'm also thankful that, you know, I didn't happen to walk out and they'd be in the car and we get in a scuffle, or Ken get into a scuffle, or nobody was hurt. It was an inconvenience, and it hurts our heart, but it didn't hurt our bodies or someone else's body. Amen? Is in the grand scheme of things, it is just a truck. Family, I have been able to see some beautiful creativity in our city. I love the beautiful people here, and I love the creativity that's present here in Detroit. And sometimes our creativity flows best when we get a chance to be have a little hope. When we get a chance to be inspired a little bit, when we get a chance to have something to look forward to. And so our neighborhood got crazy excited. Our city got crazy excited. Anybody that's from Detroit that lived around the world got crazy excited this year when the Lions made that playoff run. Lions made that playoff run. You saw some crazy excitement, some crazy energy, some crazy creativity, and people started creating stuff out of kind of their homes. People started reflecting the Lions based on what they had at home. They had some face paint, they just throw it on real quick. If your child had a little lion, they might cut the lion and put it on their head. You know what I'm saying? Like, we had folks just doing random things. Whatever you had, you put it to use. We had some folks that would just grab a dope big old chain and grab a cowboy hat and start, you know, taking a carpet and celebrating that way. Maybe you found a lion and a dog mask and you started rocking that with a selfie. You know what I'm saying? Like folks were just getting creative. Whatever they had, they used your construction beanie. You know what I'm saying? Your orange beanie. You're rocking that. Like, hey, whatever you got. And we actually know that guy. And then maybe you just had a wig at the house. And you like, look, it's blue. I'm going to make this thing work. You know what I mean? Like people were just using what they had to reflect their excitement of the city. And it was really cool. It was really awesome. Today, as we dive into our biblical text, we're going to see God's people doing something similar. God's people using what is accessible to them to be creative and to worship God in some amazing ways. So if you would, could you turn with me to Matthew chapter 21? Matthew chapter 21. If you have a Bible near you, it'll be in the Pew Bible. It'll also be on the screen. And for those of you at home, we pray that you have either your electronic Bibles or you read with us on screen. Matthew chapter 21, and when someone gets there, if you could tell us what page that is, that'd be awesome. 1405. Starting at verse 1, Matthew chapter 21. Verse 1, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven! When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Verse 1, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. Now they're not in Jerusalem yet. They have left Jericho and they're headed towards Jerusalem. And this starts a momentum. This starts a group of people who are about to celebrate Jesus, and that celebration is going to enter into Jerusalem, and it's going to make Jerusalem say, who is this? But Bethphage is near the Mount of Olives. It's also near Bethany. And there's today, Bethany is a Palestinian town that's right near Jerusalem, bordering East Jerusalem in the West Bank. It's modern-day Palestine. And I would be unfaithful to my convictions about some of the atrocities happening today if I did not mention this region, if I did not mention what was taking place in this region today. Unfortunately, as of March 5th of this month, over 31,000 people's lives have been lost between Palestinians and Israelis. About 1,400 Israelis and about 30,000 Palestinians. Family, we need to continue praying, but we also need to be okay with saying this unweighted death toll needs to end. We need to see peace take place there. We need to see families that are hungry receiving food, and we need to see our country speak up and speak out when lives are being lost of innocent civilians. Specifically, in this time, Palestinians. So this is that region of Palestine, and Jesus now has a group rolling with him, and he sends two disciples from that area. I don't think I can say 30,000 people without stopping to pray. Father, it is tough for us to just move on. We know your heart breaks for the situation there. I thought of the beauty of the voices that I get to hear within this sanctuary, beautiful children, whether they are newborns, toddlers, youngsters, teens, God. And I think of the number of children's lives in that toll that are lost. Father, would you please allow the leaders there to minister out of integrity and not out of the pain. We know the pain runs deep, and there is no excuse for evil committed on both sides, Lord, but we pray that their wisdom, that their guidance would flow from you and not flow from their desire for anger or revenge. Guide and lead, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. And so Jesus sends out two disciples. In verse 2, he says to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. Jesus is now moving forward a plan, and he's going to do something that helps you connect. He's going to do something that helps you find a seamless bond that some of us try to separate. Some of my people like me that love storytelling really enjoy the Old Testament, because the Old Testament has narratives and stories, and it has experiences that you can just track how it's going. Some of my other people that like, just give it to me clear, give it to me quick, give me prose, give me like simple statements. Some of my people like that love the stories of Jesus, but they love like direct statements in Romans or in Ephesians. Just tell it to me straight, Pastor. And some prefer New Testament, some prefer Old Testament, but here we're getting this beautiful link, this beautiful connection, this beautiful image of our God fulfilling prophecy, of Old Testament truths being realized in a New Testament God. Verse 5 says, therefore, say to daughter Zion. That's like saying, say to Israel. Make it plain to Israel. See, your king comes to you. He's coming to you gentle on a donkey, on a colt, on the foal of a donkey. He's trying to make it as clear as possible that the Messiah is on the way. But the Messiah is coming in a way so different than what they expected. So different than what you and I expect. I was listening to a guy say, he said, man, it's really important to follow God. He said, man, I was out here trying to chase a dollar. I was working hard, and I knew that God told me to go make this sale, but I didn't want to go. I didn't want to go at all. I was mad. I didn't want to go, but I know God was telling me to make this sale. He was a salesman. He sold trailers for a living. He said, God told me to go to this place. I said, no, I'm not. All right, I'm going to go, God. I hear you. So he goes 2 hours away to pick up and buy this trailer. And right when he gets there, the guy tells him, oh, man, I'm sorry. I didn't tell you that the frame is rusted out. So now he's drove 2 hours. The frame is rusted. And he's saying, well, God, like, I'm listening to you. I'm following you. You telling me to go here. I've come 2 hours away from my house. And just as he leaves the guy, frustrated, goes to get some gas, on Facebook, another trailer that was way better for less, that he could sell for far more, came up 10 minutes from where he was. He said, man, I have been looking for something like this the whole time, chasing. If I would have tried to get that deal, being so far away, I would have never got it. But because I listened to God, and he told me to go to this place that didn't seem like it was going to be the deal I wanted, I ended up with a better deal than I ever could have imagined. You see, sometimes God moves in ways that you don't expect, in ways that we can't plan for, in ways that are beyond what you can imagine. But listen to him, trust him, and follow the voice. And the voice right here is trying to lay out to the people of God, he's not going to come with strength, with might, and with force. He's going to come gentle, gentle. But we don't want gentle. You don't want gentle. When you feel pain or when somebody's hurting you, do you want the person hurting you to get a gentle revenge? Do you want them to get a soft repercussion? Do you want them to get a love tap? See, you and I, when we're hurting, when we're in pain, when we are struggling, we want them to get it and get it hard. We want them to feel the pain that we felt. No, we want them to feel twice as much pain as we felt. Lonzo, me and you, the only one that had hurt in here before. When that pain is real, and that pain is what the people of God have been experiencing for years since slavery. They felt like they were the scum of the earth. They felt like nation after nation has tried to trample them. They felt like, I feel pain and there is no relief in sight. And so as they were expecting a savior, as they were expecting a Messiah to solve their pain problem, they didn't expect it was going to be a gentle response. Riding on a colt response? No, I need a riding on a tank response. I need a F1 carrier response. I need a B-52 bomber response. They were expecting God to show up in power and might, and he's showing up gentle, humble, in peace. I really enjoy some of my good friends work for Procter & Gamble. And Procter & Gamble makes a lot of, like, different home goods. And many of you guys, like, connect with brands. You found the brand that you like, and you stick with it. When it's time to cook that chicken, you go get that Lawry's, and you've been using Lawry's seasoning salt for the past 15 years. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know the Tide that you like. I don't care if everybody else like, you know, Palmolive. Like, you know your brands. But sometimes they have the audacity to change one little design in the brand. My wife would be like, hey, can you go get the ketchup out of the fridge? I know it's in a red bottle, y'all. But if they change the label, I don't see it. Where is it? Where? I don't see it. If I'm expecting to find it in one thing, and it's adjusted even in the slightest way, I can miss it. And you can too. And they did too. Be careful not to put God in a certain box that because of your situation, you know exactly how he's going to come, exactly how he's got to solve it at the exact time on this day, because if not, it can't be God. See, they're about to celebrate him. There are people here present seeing him as Messiah, seeing him as one who is coming, a prophet. But do they fully get the fullness of all that he offers, of all that he is demanding, of a new kingdom that he is getting ready to bring in? Are they prepared for all that he offers, not just the component that they delight in? I get excited because I get to walk with many of you through marriage, through your marriage counseling, through things of that nature. And it's funny when a spouse will be like, man, like, dude, like, I knew she was funny, but I didn't know she could cook. Like she is the bomb at cooking. Or I knew he was just like, you know, I knew he was just like a great listener. But I didn't know he could work on cars. I didn't know that. I got blessed with my wife, like bomb in the kitchen. I didn't know she could sing. Now she up here singing for the Lord, like helping our church. I had not heard, boo, did I hear you sing before we got married? I don't think so. But there are times though, and here, these people see a messianic aspect of Jesus, but not expecting the fullness of all that he is getting ready to bring. Not understanding. No, no, no. This is the one prophecy spoke of. No, no, no. This is the one who shall fulfill it all. But they do respond in some ways that help us see even the aspect they did get, they allowed that to be one that was worshipful. Look with me in verse 6. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them. They placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road while others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. I love a few aspects of this. First, you see this model of leadership. They brought the donkey, did as Jesus instructed them, and they placed their cloaks on the donkey. Then the crowd afterwards started doing the same. First the disciples do it, then you see the crowds do it. But these cloaks are like a covering that does have religious significance. Brother Denny says this. He says, the word for garment that you see here is talit, or prayer shawl, which was a seamless garment with four corners with a tassel attached to each of the corners to remind the Jewish people of all the commands of God. Upon its collar, the Hebrew letters spell Lord of Lords and King of Kings as a symbolic reminder of the promised Messiah. By laying down their talits, the people were acknowledging Jesus as God's promised Messiah. They were declaring that Jesus was the one worthy to be called the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. So they have this cloak, and call it what you want. Call it a cloak, call it a t-shirt, call it a jacket, call it a trench coat, call it whatever you want. Let me ask you this. Call it a bottle of water. Whatever it was, would you allow another person to sit on it? Whatever it was, would you lay it down in the dirt and allow a donkey to walk on it? See, these people are coming, and as they come, they use what they have. The other component that they use is a palm branch. They grab a palm branch out of the tree and start laying down these branches and begin to use them as acts of worship, as tools to celebrate God. If you don't see the connection there, this beautiful creativity on display, but also one connecting them back to a time of David, there's this continuity of, oh, the king is coming. The king is coming. Then let us use what we have to celebrate him. There was a time back when I was trying to read some of the history of chivalry. And I know that that's a debated topic nowadays. Like, can a man open a door for a woman? I open my own door. Nope, please open a door for me. It depends on who you are. Hey, you fall where you fall. But there was a day where guys would take off their coats and lay them over a puddle for a lady. That all started with knights, with like literal knights back in the medieval times. And it was something they did to show reverence for the king. Because the king should not be stepping in or upon anything that was dirty or making him less clean. And then men began to see that as a way to honor women, to say, hold on, I want to celebrate this sister, I want to celebrate this woman, and I don't want you stepping in anything that would make you unclean. No, I ain't seen a brother use a jacket over a puddle in a long time, y'all. She must have said ever. but we see the heart posture though. You can see a desire to in reverence celebrate this person so much that you say, no, I'm gonna make sure that you remain clean. I'll take off. I'm willing to be dirty for the sake of you being clean, for the sake of you being honored. This is now a crowd of people taking that posture to the one that they see as the king, the one who they say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So you see them use the cloaks. They use the palm branches. But lastly, they use their voices. They say this term, Hosanna, Hosanna, which is a salvation cry. It is you saying unto God, like save us, have your way with us, step in and relieve us, save us. And you only say, save us to the one who can save. There was a pattern that this kind of connected with. I've asked this question before, but how many of y'all have birthday parties? Birthday party, okay. Would you say Sister Edie got one coming up? Hey, I know, we know. Happy birthday, sister. Come on. How many of y'all have family reunions? Yes. See, those things are rituals that are a part of your flow at least every year. Well, the people of God didn't have those types of things, but they had something called festivals, where God was saying, because you are my people and y'all are prone to sin, you might forget what I've done for you. So I'm going to require you to do these festivals, where you have to worship me and celebrate me so you can remember how I love you and how I've cared for you. And one of those festivals is the Feast of Tabernacles. Feast of Tabernacles was initiated by God to remind the people of God of how he delivered them. And the Feast of Tabernacles was a time where the people of God were supposed to be joyous, happy, celebratory. It's like a birthday party. I ain't never been to a sad birthday party. We gonna sing, we gonna have cake and ice cream, we gonna, do we blow out candles anymore since COVID? I don't know. We gonna have fun. There's an expectation of joy, of smiles, of celebration. And that was to be the case at the Feast of Tabernacles. And it is said that within the Feast of Tabernacles, the reading would take place from the leader, and the people of God will respond by saying, Hosanna! Hosanna! This celebration of God. God, we acknowledge that you are our all and you can save. Anything else doesn't even matter, because what has the power to save but you? Hosanna! And so when Jesus comes riding on a donkey, it's setting that Old Testament reminder. It's telling the people of God, you remember when you used to do this? It's triggering a loving, joyous experience of the people of God to say, celebrate them. Rejoice. Now let me ask you this question. What would lead you not to rejoice? Let me think of another way to say it. So though we don't, we can't put ourselves right in this situation, and though the Detroit Lions did not win this year, another team that some people like won this year. This college team up in Ann Arbor. And that college team did win a national championship, and there was a lot of people celebrating it, and it was pretty cool, I got to admit. But if you were here in 2004, then you saw the Bad Boys win. You saw the Detroit Pistons win a championship. And when they did that in 2004, it was crazy. I mean, you saw all of the streets lined, and you got me, Isaiah? All of the streets lined. They had, you know, all you had to do was drive to Jefferson. And Jefferson was packed. I mean, filled. Hart Plaza, that last picture, I don't know if you can see, but if you see little ants on there, that's all people. Hart Plaza packed, Jefferson packed, whole town packed. Let me ask you this. How silly would you have been if the whole town is celebrating, you'd have been like this? What's wrong with you? Well, you know, I don't really do basketball, or you know, all these people, or you know, like, couldn't they have done it and couldn't they have swept them? Why'd they have to let them win one? You know, or wait, what if you'd have just even, and this is what's crazy, right? What if you just said, my leg hurts? I'm running low on gas, man. You see, when you are in an environment of worship, one where everybody is celebrating, and by the way, this parade was called the Victory Parade. When you are in an environment like that, there's no good excuse not to be excited. No good excuse. Everybody present is celebrating, shouting. Sometimes we look at Jesus and we're like, but my situation, but my issue, but my struggle. So I can't praise you in the way that I should because of dot, dot, dot. But is he the king? Is he the one that came to save? Is he the only one that can save? Is he the one who is victorious? If so, then allow your praise to be above your situation. Allow your praise to triumph your problem. Allow the celebration of the body to be contagious. So today, I want us to kind of simulate what might have happened as the people of God, to simulate what happened with the people of God. I'm going to read some verses from Psalms chapter 118. And my brothers, if y'all could pass out those palm branches at this moment, please, to everyone, that would be really helpful. I'm going to read some. My sister Robin, hey. Victory belongs to Jesus. Yep. So my sister said the victory parade. Why did I mention that? I mentioned the victory parade was what the 2004 Pistons parade was called. Not in the Bible. But you was listening though. See? But you listening though. See? That's she rolling. So three things happened. We're going to read scripture. At the end of each phrase, when I say Hosanna, I want to hear y'all say Hosanna in the highest. And I want you to wave your palm. All right? My brothers are coming with palms for everybody. Kids, I want you to be waving them too. We're going to wave these palms, and it's going to be symbolic of what would have happened then, but a heart posture for us now. My brother, I need y'all to double time it. Just give a stack to each row and they'll pass them down. They all right? Yep. There you go. Amen, amen. They'll just leave the extra ones at the end. That's cool. Good. Then we are wrapped. Amen. Let me have one, my brother. Fresh. Amen. Thank you to our sister Vershawn that found these for the family. And if one of y'all can give our guys up in the audio visual one. Brother Carl, can you get him up top? Thank you. Amen. All right, so here we go. I'll read, and when I say Hosanna, you guys respond, Hosanna in the highest, and you let them wave. Amen. All right, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. Hosanna in the high. Amen. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. Hold on, man. Y'all look so beautiful. Yup, pastors ain't supposed to do this, but I'm filming y'all. Forget that. Y'all look absolutely amazing. My people at home, y'all want to see it, but I can't. I don't know how we going. Yup. All right. So, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Hosanna. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Hosanna. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this in its marvel, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With bows in hand, join in the festival procession up to the horns of the altar. Hosanna. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Hosanna! Amen. Let this worshipful posture be the posture that you recall when you think of Jesus heading into Jerusalem, when you think of Jesus heading in to do a triumphal work, to do a work that where he is excited to lead and display his victory for us. His victory is not going to take place the way we may expect. His victory is not going to be a road that any of us would want to travel. But his victory will be sacrificial, and it will be for us, and it will put us in a place of peace. If you long for that peace, if you long to know Jesus, if you long to be able to understand how your celebration of him gives him joy and can lead to a new life, we want you to join us here at Mac Ave as a new member. We want you to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Because why? Because he's worthy. Why? Because our worship brings him joy. Why? Because when we praise him, it allows us to triumph over our situations. Join me in prayer, family. Hosanna. Lord, we thank you that we can give you the highest praise. We can celebrate your name because you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The people, they understood an aspect of your messianic coming, but still didn't get it fully. But let us not be too arrogant. For Lord, we get an aspect of you as well, but we want to embrace and know you fully. Help us to do so. Help us to live for you, to walk in the steps that you provide. Help us to be obedient. Even when it doesn't look like it's going to work out, Lord, let us trust you. You are so good to us. May we experience the victory that you provide. It's in Jesus' name we pray.